Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
When we talk about those neighborly disputes, you know, it's usually fences or maybe somebody's playing their music too loud. But your story, what you sent in, this goes way beyond a simple disagreement.
Yeah.
This is something else entirely.
It really is. And it's something we see sometimes, unfortunately.
Yeah. This is something else.
Yeah.
So we need to unpack it all. And we're here to help with that and offer some perspective on this whole thing.
Absolutely.
You mentioned that it started subtly. You know, you'd find toys in your yard that obviously didn't belong to you. Then it was household trash just appearing like out of nowhere.
Right.
Seemingly innocent.
Right? Yeah.
Maybe even accidental at first, but...
And that's what's so interesting about these situations, that that's that ambiguity, right? Yeah. You don't know, is it intentional or is it truly an accident? And it's that ambiguity that really allows the tension to simmer and grow, because most people are not going to like run over to their neighbor and be like, hey, why is this toy in my yard?
Why is this banana peel in my yard?
Exactly. It's just a toy, but then it happens again and then something else happens. And it's those small things that build up over time and create this resentment.
And in your case, it went from annoying to... very scary pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You mentioned your dog, Max, being targeted. As a dog lover, that one got to me too.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what happened with Max and how that made you feel?
Well, you know, when you think about your home, it should be your safe space.
It should be.
And when that is violated in some way, it's very unsettling, and particularly when it's a pet, because your pet relies on you for protection.
Totally.
So it's this vulnerability. It adds a whole other layer, I think.
You talked about finding knives in your yard and then a rock through your window. These aren't just pranks anymore.
Right.
These feel very deliberate.
And that's actually one of the things we look for in terms of escalating aggression, is that each act is met with a more intense response. So it becomes like a terrible game of one-upmanship.
And you were trying to get a grip on the situation.
Right.
You were installing security cameras. You even got a guard dog. But it sounds like you still felt constantly on edge.
Of course, because it wasn't random. It was very targeted. Every single thing that was happening was personalized to you, meant to intimidate you and to control you. And those things you mentioned, the slash furniture, the dead rat, those are deliberate messages to make you feel powerless and afraid.
And it sounds like they worked.
Yeah.
And then you find the Smith children hiding in your attic.
Oh, wow.
That changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It went from you being tormented to you almost becoming a protector.
Well, it's such a powerful twist in the story, because it reveals this whole other layer. And now the tormentors are the victims.
Right.
And you're grappling with this whole new set of emotions.
And you described the abuse that those children endured at the hands of their parents. And it just makes you wonder, was their behavior towards you? Was that like a misdirected cry for help?
It's very possible. I mean, children in those situations, they often don't know how to process that trauma.
Right.
So their actions can be erratic and destructive, and they lash out at these seemingly random targets, you know, as a way of expressing their own pain and powerlessness.
You mentioned finding Ethan with bruises and Lily with a black eye. And as a parent, that's just really hard to hear. What kind of lasting impact can that kind of abuse have on children?
Well, the thing about abuse is that the psychological scars, they can be really deep and long lasting, because these kids were living in a constant state of fear and uncertainty, and that can really disrupt their emotional development.
Yeah.
Their ability to form healthy attachments later, and they might struggle with anxiety, depression, maybe even PTSD.
So they were trapped in their own nightmare.
Right.
Just like you were feeling trapped in yours.
Exactly.
And then their parents were arrested.
Okay.
Which brings that chapter to a close.
Mentally.
But that doesn't mean that the trauma just disappears.
No, it doesn't. And that's something that's very important for us to remember, is that even though they're out of that immediate danger, the healing process for both you and the Smith children, it's ongoing, and it's really commendable that you're trying to understand it all.
So you did what a lot of people in your situation would do. You decided to move to a new town. You took extra security measures. You were trying to reclaim that sense of safety that had been shattered.
Sure.
But then you started noticing this mysterious woman always watching your house, and the red balloons start appearing again. So it's almost like the nightmare followed you.
Yeah.
It's one thing to physically move and try to start fresh. But then to have these little reminders pop up, did you feel like you were right back where you started?
Yeah. It's like your brain is trying to find a pattern in all of this, right?
Right.
You've gone through this prolonged period of stress and fear. So it makes sense that your mind would be on high alert, looking for any little thing that could be a threat.
especially something as specific as the red balloons, they were deliberately placed. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that choice?
It feels very deliberate, right?
Very.
It's psychological manipulation, plain and simple. They're using this symbol from a really traumatic time in your life to try to bring back those feelings of fear and uncertainty.
Yeah.
It's about power and control, making you doubt yourself, your sanity even.
And then you get a note that says, "Welcome to the neighborhood." And then another dead bird appears on your doorstep. But this time with the message, "You can't run from the past." These are very calculated messages.
Absolutely. This is next level. It's not just harassment. This is psychological warfare meant to keep you off balance, make you feel like you're always one step behind.
So what can you do?
Well, I think the first thing is don't blame yourself.
Right.
This is a lot to go through. These are very real and very traumatic experiences. So your feelings are completely valid. And it's so important to reach out for help if you need it.
To process these events, to develop some coping strategies.
Exactly. A support system is really invaluable, whether that's friends, family, a therapist. But you don't have to go through this alone.
Because fear thrives in isolation.
Yes.
So talking about it like you're doing with us can help you process this and regain some sense of control.
It's about taking back your power.
We may never know who the woman is or the full meaning behind the red balloons, but you are not powerless. Keep asking questions, keep seeking support, and keep believing in your own strength.
I think that's great advice.
And to our listener, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. We know it couldn't have been easy, but these conversations, they help us shine a light on these dark corners and hopefully help others who might be going through something similar feel a little less alone.
It's all about raising awareness.
Until next time, stay safe out there.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.